I want to speak to you today on the subject, seeking the Lord. I've chosen for my text Psalm 22, verse 26. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Now, it'd probably be an awakening experience for some of you if you'd get a concordance and study the many scriptures that teach us to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Just take a concordance and look up the word seek and read the many, many, many scriptures that talk about seeking the Lord. Now, I realize that this generation of preachers and religious people are taken up with a do-it-yourself religion, a decision for Jesus, accepting the Lord, and calling it salvation. And so few people have the slightest conception of what it means to seek the Lord. I wonder if you're familiar with scriptures like these. Listen to these scriptures. Jeremiah 29:13. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Listen to Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Listen to Ezra 8:22. The hand of the Lord is upon all them that seek him. And then Psalm 119:2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with all their hearts. Listen to Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It'd be well for us to ask ourselves these questions. What is it to really seek the Lord? I'm not satisfied with a do-it-yourself religion. I'm not satisfied with an on-the-spot decision. I'm not satisfied with just giving mental agreement to some facts about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know what it means to seek the Lord. This question, am I now seeking the Lord? Or this question, did I ever really seek the Lord? I want to take the scriptures and describe from the scriptures those who really seek the Lord. And I want you to listen carefully. I have about 6 or 7 points. And maybe you could take a pencil and piece of paper and write down these points and write down the scriptures and then go back later and study them. They that seek the Lord, first of all, seek him continually. In the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 10 and 11, this is what the scripture says. Now listen to it. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. I'm saying this. Those who really seek the Lord, seek him continually. Now, I know about this time of year, many people get the spirit of Christmas. They get a religious spirit. They get a spirit of goodwill. And it ends about the time they take the tree down. And then some people get real religious about Easter time, and they start talking about the resurrection. And then that's over when they take their beautiful clothes off. And then other people celebrate this religious holiday, Lent, or that religious holiday. And some people get real religious and devout during revival services. Every year, about August or September, the church has a revival meeting for 2 weeks, and they get real religious, and they think and talk about God. And some people get real religious during serious illness or during the death of someone in the family. And then some people have a Sunday religion. Every Sunday morning, they dust off the Bible, dress up, and go to church. But those who really seek the Lord, seek him continually. Every day is the Lord's day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Christ is our life. Christ is our breath. As the deer panteth for the water brooks, David said, so panteth my soul after thee. Not during the Christmas season, not during Easter only, not during the revival meeting only, not just on Sunday morning, but continually, continually. My heart panteth for thee, O God. In a dry and thirsty land, my heart panteth for thee. And those who seek the Lord continually know that every event in life is in his care, because all things, the good and the bad, all things work together for good to them who love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And every hour is a sweet hour of prayer. For the scripture says we're to pray without ceasing. You know what it was written about Caleb? It says in Numbers 14:24, my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit and hath followed me fully, he hath followed me continually, him will I bring into the land. Those who seek the Lord seek him continually. And then secondly, those who seek the Lord seek him with their hearts, with all their hearts. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13 declares, ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Psalm 119 verse 2, blessed are they that seek him with the whole heart. Now, my friends, it's unwise to deal in insincerity with anyone. Deceit and hypocrisy is unfair. It's ungodly when it, wherever it's found or however it's practiced. But woe to the man, woe unto the woman who is deceitful and insincere and hypocritical in his dealings with God Almighty. Isaiah 45 verse 9 says, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds of the earth strive with the potsherds of the earth, but let not a man strive, contest, bargain, deal insincerely with his maker. Listen to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 1 and 2. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the presence or to the house of the Lord. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before the Lord. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. My friends, salvation, redemption, fellowship with God is a heart work. It's a heart work. It's not just a head work. It's a heart work. It's not just mental acceptance of terms. It's a heart work. It's not just joining my body with a group of believers. It's a heart work. And it's a sincere heart work. And it's without hypocrisy. You know what Joel said? Rend your heart and not your garments. And Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, and believe in thine heart, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Those who really seek the Lord are those who seek him continually. Not just today, not just tomorrow, not just in a special season, but they seek him continually. And they seek him in a sincere manner. They seek him in a genuine manner. They seek him with their hearts. Ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now thirdly, those who seek the Lord seek him not only continually and with their hearts, but they seek him in truth. Psalm 145 verse 18 says this, the Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. In truth. It's not sufficient to have a God. It's not sufficient to have a religion. It's not sufficient to have only a religious profession. It's not sufficient to only live by a moral code. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him in spirit and in truth. And in truth. John 17, verse 3, when our Lord prayed that great priestly prayer, he declared, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. They that seek the Lord seek him in truth. Well, where is God revealed in truth? Can I go out and stand under the heavens and look up at the stars and find out God? Well, I can see in the stars the power of God. I can see in creation the wisdom of God. But I cannot see there the mercy of God and the grace of God. I ask myself, will God pardon the guilty? Will God forgive sinners? Will God redeem people? I can look at the stars until my death day, and they'll not tell me anything about the righteousness of God and the justice of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God. No, God is not revealed in His saving character in nature. Well, what about the church rituals? As I watch the priest or the rector or someone else walking down the aisle dressed in long robes and wearing a crown and carrying a pillar and with something on top of it and putting water here and water there and bowing and kneeling and doing all of these different ceremonies and rituals, what will this tell me about the mercy of God or the grace of God or the redemption that I can have in God? Nothing whatsoever. Well, where can I find God in truth? Two places. Now, they that seek the Lord seek Him continually. They that seek the Lord seek Him with the heart, sincerely. As one preacher used to say, honest people don't wind up in hell. And thirdly, they seek Him in truth. Where is He revealed? First of all, God is revealed in His Word. In His Word. The Scripture says, faith cometh by hearing, saving faith, redeeming faith. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not by feeling, not by ceremony. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to know God? Then you go to God's Word. God reveals Himself in His Word. That's where God is revealed, in His Word. He hath begotten us unto a living hope by the Word of truth. Of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth. It's by the Word that men receive a knowledge of sin, a knowledge of their inability, a knowledge of Christ, a knowledge of God's redemptive grace, a knowledge of God's righteousness, God's justice, God's holiness, God's mercy is revealed in His Word. Secondly, God is revealed in His Son. Our Lord Jesus Christ said to His disciples before He went to Calvary, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. And Philip said, show us the Father. Lord, show us the Father. Show us God, and it'll suffice us. It'll satisfy us. And our Lord said, Philip, have I been so long time with you and you've not known Me? He that has seen Me has seen the Father. God reveals Himself in Christ. Christ is that prophet of whom Moses wrote. Christ is that Redeemer for which Israel looked. Christ is that sacrifice that is typified through the entire Old Testament. He is a revelation of God. Because He is God. He said, I and My Father are one. Jesus Christ is God Almighty in human flesh, who came down here to satisfy the law and to go to the cross and honor His justice and redeem a people from their sins. Three questions about Christ that every believer can answer. Number one, who is He? Number two, what did He do? And number three, why did He do it? Can you answer those questions? Who is Jesus Christ? Who is this babe from the virgin's womb? Who is this carpenter from Nazareth's shop? Who is this man of Galilee? Who is this crucified Redeemer? Who is this risen substitute? He's God Almighty. God was in Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. I and My Father are one. What did He do? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we're healed. The just died for the unjust to bring us to God. He who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's right. The sinless was made sinful that the sinful might be sinless. Why did He do this? Because we couldn't do it. Because the law couldn't do it. Because angels couldn't do it. Because even the Father Himself could not justify a sinner without a suitable, sufficient sacrifice. He did it that God might be just and justify the ungodly. He did it that we who had no righteousness might have one. He did it that we who were bound for eternal condemnation might be taken to eternal glory. Jesus Christ. Who is he? He's God Almighty. What did he do? He died for his people. Why did he do it? That Almighty God might be just and justify the ungodly. That every attribute of a holy God might be satisfied in his holy Son. God to satisfy, man to suffer. The God-man, a suitable substitute. And if you seek the Lord, you'll seek him continually. There'll be no break in it. There'll be no interruption in it. You'll continually seek him till you find him in saving faith. And you'll seek him with your heart, because that's where the work of grace is done. It's done in the heart. It's a heart work. These people at Pentecost were pricked in their hearts. That's right. It's with the heart man believeth. And you'll seek him in his Son, in truth. Listen to Romans 10:13 carefully. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Do you want to know God? You want to know God in truth or ceremony? You want to know God in truth or ritual? You want to know God in truth or profession? You want to know God in truth or religion? If you want to know God in truth, go to his word. Lay aside the books written about his word and look to his word. You want to know God in truth? Look to Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Paul didn't say, I know what I believe, although he did. He said, I know whom I have believed. Faith is in a person. The object of saving faith is a person, the Son of God. I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded he is able to keep that which I've committed, not to the church, to him. I've committed my soul to him. I've committed my hope to him. I've committed all things to him. And he's able to keep it to that great day. All right, fourthly, they that seek the Lord, they seek him remembering their sins and their unworthiness. Now you listen to this scripture in Isaiah 51:1. Listen carefully. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn. Look to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Isn't that something? Hearken to me, he said, you who follow after righteousness. That's what Paul wanted. He said, oh, that I might be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of faith in Christ Jesus. You that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord, remember the rock from which you were hewn and the hole of the pit from which you were dug. That's Isaiah 51:1. God, who's God talking to? Talking to Israel. And you know what he's saying to Israel? He's saying, look back. Look back to the pit of idolatry. Look back to the paganism. Look back to the darkness of sin from which I called your father Abraham. And Abraham was an idolater when God called him, living in paganism. And look back to the spot from which I delivered you. It's not anything I saw in you. It's not because of anything that you contribute. It's by my grace that you live. And Paul said this, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And in seeking the Lord, continually with my heart, in seeking the Lord in truth, I never forget where he found me, from the place from which he called me, the guilt and sin out of which he lifted me. Paul said, I was a blasphemer. I'll never forget that. I was a persecutor. I was injurious. I hated God. I persecuted the church. He could have passed me by. David said, my sins are ever before me. I was conceived in sin, shapen in iniquity, brought forth speaking lies. I remember. And those that seek the Lord, always remember what they were and what they are by birth, by nature, by practice. And they're able to sing with John Newton, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind. I was lost. I was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. And grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home. The man who seeks the Lord will justify God in his condemnation. He'll justify God in every charge against his sin. He'll justify God. That's right. He knows the pit from which he was dug. He knows the rock from which he was hewn. He knows the grave from which he was raised. He knows the pit and the darkness from which he was lifted. Christ lifted me when nothing else could help. Christ lifted me. Never forget that. Never forget that. Started out at the cross, we'll wind up right there. Started out trusting him, we'll continue the journey and finish it right there. And then in the fifth place, they that seek the Lord, seek him with a single purpose. Now listen to Psalm 27:4. Listen to it. One thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Now, you're going to have to figure out what's the one thing that you desire and the one thing that you seek after. Man can't have two goals and seek the Lord. Man can't serve two masters and seek the Lord. Some of you are seeking wealth. You can't seek wealth and seek the Lord. Some of you are seeking security. Some of you are seeking recognition. Some of you are seeking fame. Some of you are seeking the praise of men. Some of you are seeking personal power. The man who truly seeks the Lord can say with David, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after. What is it, David? To be a powerful man on this earth? No, sir. To have many friends, to have great riches and great wealth and great education, great intellect? No, sir. One thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and to behold the beauty of the Lord. The man who seeks the Lord has one goal, one object, one desire. You know what it is? Paul summed it up. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And I count all things, my heritage, my tradition, my custom, I count all things, my claim, my power, my prosperity, I count all things, my fame, my recognition, my ceremonies, I count all things but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. A divided heart is an unstable heart. If any man lack wisdom, and wisdom's Christ, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. You got to make up your mind. Do you want Christ or Christ and? Huh? Which is it? Do you want Christ, period, or do you want Christ and this, and Christ and that, and Christ and something else? You can't have it. You can't have but one goal and seek the Lord. One goal. All right, in the sixth place, and this is the last point, they that seek the Lord, seek him while he may be found. While he may be found. This is important. Old Felix sat there on the throne, and Paul talked to him about righteousness and judgment and eternal life, and he listened to him a while, and then he said, I believe it was Agrippa, he listened a while, then he said, Paul, you go your way. When I have a more convenient season, I'll send for you. It never came. He never had that season. He never had that opportunity. Now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Listen to Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. While he may be found. Old blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting out there outside of Jericho by the roadside, blind, in darkness, in poverty, a beggar, sitting on the ground, living off the alms of somebody else. And he heard a commotion. And he said, what's that? What's that? What's the noise? And somebody said, listen, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Passeth by. And my friend, I don't know where you get the idea. And I want you to listen to me now. I'm not being harsh. I'm being truthful. I don't know where you get the idea that God has nothing better to do than to stand outside your heart's door and knock for 50 years until you condescend to do business with him. There's no scripture to this effect at all, not any scripture whatsoever. But the scripture rather says, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. God doesn't command you to do anything tomorrow. He commands you to do it right now. Right now. And he gives you no assurance of tomorrow. And the scripture says this, teach me to number my days that I may apply my heart to wisdom. And old blind Bartimaeus heard that good news, that gospel. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by, and he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And somebody said, hush. He said, I can't hush. I've got one shot. I've got one opportunity. He's passing by. I'm in need, and he can meet my need. I'm in darkness, and he can give me light. I'm in poverty, and he can give me wealth. I'm in sin. He can save my soul. I've got one shot. I will not hush. I will not stop. I'll cry louder. And he cried louder, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And you know what scripture says? This is the most beautiful statement, I guess, in all of God's word. And Jesus stood still. All the demons of hell couldn't stop him. All the forces of nature couldn't stop him. But the cry of one sinner in need, one sincere, seeking, earnest, heartbroken sinner, stopped the Lord in his tracks. And he said, Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, that I might see. And our Lord gave him sight. Listen to me, friend. The grave is not the place to seek the Lord. Judgment is not the place to seek the Lord. Now is the day. Today. Now is the accepted time. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Title of this message is Seeking the Lord. If you want it on cassette tape, you can have this week and next week's tape by writing to me. There's a small charge, $3 for both sermons. Until next week at the same time, Henry Mahan bidding you a very pleasant good day.